Oh my God. Longtime Papa's Basement listeners know what It's So Hard to Say Goodbye by The Boys, Roman numeral 2, men means. Usually means that the sky is one black star lesser on this evening. Not exactly the case tonight, but porn, I don't like the name porn star. Let's call her Happiness Provider. Happiness Provider, August Ames, took her life. I chose this song because of her excellent work, not only on Black.com, but BlackRaw.com. A lot of great scenes with that gal. That sweet, delicious, kind Canadian who took her life this very day. We are going to get to that in a second. Let's do our intros, and then we'll properly mourn this gorgeous woman and the circumstances of her death. And we'll tell you why it's your fault she's dead. It is, goddammit. You should have tweeted her while she was alive. You should have told her how much she meant to you. You should have stuck up for her. You let August Ames down, and now you're never going to see her get porked again. This is Papa's Basement. I'm John Papa Giorgio, hence the show's weird name, at Papa's Basement on Twitter and Instagram and everywhere else. In papasbasement.com, every episode we have ever done of this lovely podcast is hosted there. It's guy talk. It's like Howard Stern. That's, if I had to characterize it, that's all this is. It's been 10 years of it if you explore the website. Over 500 episodes. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. And you can also go to youtube.com/papasbasement. In the last year or so, we have recorded ourselves live in studio. You can see not only my gorgeous face that is wasted on radio and should be co-starring with August Ames, then not now, but you can see all of my delicious stud co-hosts who have also done multiple performances, not on blacked.com, but its white sister site, vixen.com. This man knows his pornography, I declare, from the loudest rooftops. In studio today, we have Howard Flood. Howard, what up?
Just learning things about porn stars that are too late to be found for me.
Sadly. Yeah, now you have to do like that weird jack where you're beating it to her tonight, and you're like, oh, but you're dead. And things get awkward. And you finish, but it's awkward.
It's no different than being young, finding out that Marilyn Monroe was a thing before we were born. So
that's true, yeah. I mean, it's not like you're going through the accident report for Jane Mansfield and jerking to her stuff. Like, what happened to her trachea? Ah! We've also got friend, listener, and all of the above, Nate, in studio with us. Nate grew up listening to JFK. He knows what talk radio is. Nate, what's up, buddy?
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you here. Always. You brought us not one, but two pizzas. One for each of my breasts. You know how much I eat. And I love you for it. Gotta and on the that. Phone, we have Brian Bolte.
What's up, boys? I wish it was Travis Bird that killed himself and not August.
Yes. And also Travis, who had done scenes for Blacked, because that would be funny.
That would be way funny.
That would just be amazing, because also he wouldn't be a virgin anymore. Oh. So I had walked in prepared to talk about the 66, you know, in the theme of taking a gigantic black phallus within you. I wanted to talk about the tolling taking place on Route 66, a.k.a. the Widowmaker, in our area. But right before I came to the studio, I learned that porn star August Ames died. We can only assume at the age of 23 by her own hand. And to be fair, all joking aside, I'm not the biggest professional porn dude, but like I've definitely seen August Ames's crap before. And like she is hot. Like she is very attractive. A lot of porn stars still have that like kind of peroxide blonde look where you're like, "Ah, I could take it or leave it." August Ames, genuine beautiful person. And I don't mean that in the dumb way like talking about her soul. Like she's pretty, like in the way that it counts. So I'm not one of those dudes who follows porn stars on Twitter. If you are one of those guys, stop that now. Because all that happens is anytime I go to a porn star's Twitter because I want to just click on the media link and flip through her pictures and do my thing, it just says like, X of your friends follow this girl. It's like this weird Eskimo cousins via proxy thing where it's just like, your friend Alan also whacks off to Angela White. You're like, okay. Great. We have similar taste. Good for you, Alan. she had a bit of a Twitter controversy a couple days ago. I wouldn't use the word controversy. The world uses the word controversy. And now a, let's just call it like it is, porn stars, maybe not the most stable folks out there. Maybe don't have the deepest bedrock to go to when times get tough. The world kind of did their social justice warrior bit. God, I hate using that acronym, but sometimes it comes out because it's the easiest way to say it. And let's just say killed this woman, drove her to death. I will give you the details now.
Yeah, please do. What happened?
Well, hey, what happened? Let's just get to it right now. Hey, what happened? So 4 days ago, the year of our Lord, 2017, December 3rd, August Ames tweets the following. Whichever lady performer is replacing me tomorrow for Erotica X News, you're shooting with a guy who has shot gay porn. Just to let you know. BS is all I can say, and then some sort of emoji. Do agents really not care about who they're representing? Hashtag LA Direct. I do my homework for my body. And then she has the nerd emoji and a pencil and an hourglass. Maybe thinking that you need an hourglass for homework is why dear Miss Ames does porn, or did porn. But God bless her for it. She was quickly lambasted by the world at large, who, by the way, probably not enjoying her product. I like to picture anyone who would have been riled up by that statement as watching strictly gay porn, or, I don't know, communist propaganda of some sort. But she was quickly attacked by several people who made the point of, which clearly is true, like, not every gay... First of all, you're a homophobe, not wanting to perform with gay performers. Second of all, how dare you insinuate gay men be any, like, dirtier, if you will. We all go through the same tests, which is true. They're rapid HIV tests and tests for every other STD in the porn community. But they simply wanted to blame her for either not enjoying homosexual men and wanting to be in their company, and or insisting that, you know, some going with an old stereotype of gay men having and spreading the virus that we call the high five, right. The AIDS, which I'm sorry. First of all, who she wants to film with, that's fine. Like, up until, like, 2 years ago, and to this day, there's a lot of actresses in the business who are like, I don't film with brothers. Sorry, that's not my bag.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I was wondering if anybody got on her for, like, but you're on black.com. Like, how do you say this about gays?
She takes a lot of BC, and we're not talking before Christ. But for my money, I'm sorry, she is correct. Like, if you are going to play the odds in terms of adult performers you don't want to perform with for safety, it's not the worst idea to say, I don't want to perform with gay performers. Because, like, these tests aren't foolproof. And again, much like the adult world with performers not being the most stable people, I'm not saying all gay guys. I know a lot of, like, nerdy gay dudes who live my sad life. Like, they jerk off, they pet their cat. Hopefully there's, like, a latency period between those two things. And they don't get any. And they're just stay-at-home nerds. But I think if you're a good enough-looking gay dude to do porn, you're not spending your off hours doing homework with a magnifying glass unless you're shoving it up someone's ass or having it done too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm no doctor, but if I remember correctly, like, if you have a dude going out, like, this is a dirty show, right?
Don't drop F-bombs.
Okay.
It's a clean show. Clean,
so, clean. If you have a guy out there, porn star, just having sex with ladies by the truckload, yes. I mean, it's just, it's there's a lower risk of AIDS being spread from a woman to a man, as yes. opposed from a man to another man, I think is what she's getting at, right? Is that sort of a... Are we talking about, is this a real bias that she had that was unfounded because it's no longer 1987? Or is that still true where it's like, if you have a guy who had a test like a week ago, if he went and had sex with women between his last test and when you film, if it's a bunch of women, much lower risk than if he'd just like been screwing guys for like 7 days. I guess that's like, is that a real, is that made up? I thought that's true.
Well,
I guess the Twitterverse is trying to tell her and me that we're wrong.
Well, okay. There is, I'm not saying this, I mention this article once a year. It is my North Star. Rodney Moore, porn director, wrote an impassioned article titled "No More Anal Cream Pies!" Exclamation point. Oh, that website is blocked on, oh God. If you listeners want to punch that up at home, Rodney Moore's "No More Anal Cream Pies!" Exclamation point. Rodney Moore goes on to explain that, oh, no, no, Rodney Moore knows his anal cream pies. And he says no more to anal cream pies because he's, what I've heard is in terms of spreading the HIV virus, by far the butt stuff is way more dangerous. And especially if you're the receiver of that delicious treat that Rodney Moore described, you are really playing with fire when it comes to getting the hive. Okay. So, August, series of tweets. I'm going to read them out because that makes for compelling radio. Sorry, it's just my opinion, my body, my rules. Honestly, I'm sorry if I offended anyone. This sweet angel already lays it out right there. There's a Twitter user, Straight Up Gay Porn, who says, "Hi, August, we're doing a story on you in this tweet. I'm sure it's very supportive. Why is it an issue if you or any lady shoots a scene with a guy who's shot gay porn? How does this represent something that agents don't care about, and what does this have to do with homework on your body?" I don't like the feigned innocence of that tweet, and that is a tactic that's taken by too many of us these days. You can make your point, but don't spider the fly, as it were. Don't be like, "What do you mean? What are you talking about?" And then they'll give you their answer, and you'll simply ridicule them. That's a real dick move, as we say, technically speaking, in the broadcast business, which we're in right now in a public access studio. Yes.
Hey, John.
Yes,
John,
Brian.
I received a text from Travis Dord. He says, "Fuck off, Rodney Moore. I love anal cream pies."
Oh.
you take that any way you want. I'm not sure what he means by that, but it sounds like he likes to get...
Well, you tell Travis to watch his texting mouth on this clean show. August then says she's not homophobic.
I just realized it's a clean show. I apologize.
"Most girls don't shoot with guys who've shot gay porn for safety. That's just how it is with me. I'm not putting my body at risk. I don't know what they do in their private lives," which is completely true. Like, whatever the girl wants to do, she's just saying she doesn't want to be with dudes who have shot gay porn, which, I'm sorry, let's just put it out there, probably has a higher ability to spread AIDS. Now, really just anything butt related, as Rodney Moore deliciously and really laid it on the line to say, anything butt related is way more disease prone when it comes to the HIV, if you're being unsafe.
I guess, like, to take a step back and just have it apply to people more generally, like, you probably got a lot of people who are hating on her who are just, like, run-of-the-mill women. And it's just, like, are women allowed to have the opinion of, like, they're going out with a guy and he's just like, "Oh, yeah, I used to have sex with dudes in college." Is that, like, grounds to end a relationship where it's like, "You did what?"
I think the average chick would be freaked the hell out by that.
I heard a great story, man. I knew this dude. Where to start with this? I had this friend who she enjoyed. She's a lesbian. She enjoyed going to gay clubs once in a while. So She ended up, her and a gay guy that was a friend went to this gay club, and then they took a couple with them. It's like, ostensibly straight couple was like, "Hey, that'd be cool if we go to the gay club with you guys."
Oh boy, that's not a straight couple. Continue.
Well, I'll put it this way: the girl in that party in the straight couple.
Yes.
The girl's definitely straight.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On the drive to the club, she finds out that her boyfriend had like a phase in college where, you know, he went to school in California, and he was just like, "Yeah."
Oh man.
Like,
that's like
I had a bunch of friends who used to suck my dick. Well, it's just like, if the guy is going to offer you at the end of the night to suck your dick, why wouldn't you let him? And she lost it. They'd all been drinking.
Yeah.
And so, like, my friend was like, it was one of the worst nights she ever had going to a gay club. It's like, I'm never taking people who say they're straight again. Because, like, this is what happens. One of them just, like, gets the courage to be like, "By the way, I let some guy suck my dick. And that doesn't necessarily make me gay. And there's nothing wrong with that. You can't be mad at me." Well, I think she can be mad at him.
Yeah. I wish I had that level of open-mindedness. I'm, as much as I'm lazy when it comes to laying the girls, I'm certainly not into the men. Like, I just, yeah, God.
So you were never much of the drinker in college, were you? I think that's one of those things where you're like, you're 20, it's like, man, that was a really hard night. I'm not saying this is what I did in college, but like the way he described it, it was one of those things where it just seems like, yeah, I guess like 4 a.m., you're horny. Some guy's just like, hey, man, I'd love to try this out to see if you're into it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I could see you in a certain state of mind at a younger age, maybe being like,
I would counter
I
with
so
the fact
up.
That, no, I had already kind of tapered off my drinking by college.
Right.
But, by college, I used to drink all the time with my little Tussin trip buddies. And we would always be like horny, stealing the one dude's dad's Playboys. And it was never like, hey, while I'm looking at this Playboy, would you blow me? I mean, we acted like people who were raping a retarded girl in the woods. And we would just like leave the Playboy in the bathroom and be like, I whacked it. You're up. And like we would each take turns whacking it to the same Playboy. But like that was the extent of my homosexuality. Like jerking it to straight pornography.
I can actually confirm that's a true story because I went over one time when you and your Tussin buddies were doing this.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what you guys were doing.
We'd just get a whack out and then we'd trip on Tussin.
I just stopped over. You were like, hey, we're going to drink some Tussin. You want to see? I'm like, I've never done that before.
We're like, Howard, want thirdsies?
Yeah, no, I just to this day, I remember like.
Because that was, dude, that predated our ability to get porn. Like, I don't want people to get it twisted and act like I could have gone home and looked at the work of August Ames.
You and Stefan were fine, but Hoffman would straight up like heavy breathe, like as he would like prepare to go to the bathroom. I'm like, this is too weird. I can't believe you guys just are like, hey, yeah, Hoffman's like heavy breathing.
Yeah,
is like not going to affect my ability to jerk it right after him.
Like Stefan and I are professionals about it. Like we really kept the breathing to a minimum. We would just want to get it done. We'd be like, all right, now the chamber's empty.
You guys didn't make it awkward. It was just Hoff. Because for me, I'm just like, John and Stefan are just like disappearing. I'm going to pretend like they're taking a shit when we're not playing video games.
Exactly.
Oh, sorry.
That's fine. I'll bleep it.
All right.
But
and, like the dude who's like heavily breathing, like prepping to go in the bathroom, I'm like, you're ruining this. Like, I really just came over to hang out for a few minutes.
Yeah, exactly. I could have enjoyed Stacy Sanchez's Playmate of the Year spread, but now you grunting over it, that's not cool. You made it weird. Anyhow, August Ames is dead. August Ames killed herself. The porn star not happy.
Has that been confirmed?
Dude, she just kind of went, I think, Twitter dark after the immense backlash where all of our Twitter ninjas who are making the world a better place by calling other people pieces of crap live. And she was confirmed dead. And yeah, dude, I mean, wasn't a car accident. Dead in her house. Her
could it be an OD? Like, I feel bad. People made me feel bad. So I'm going to try to make myself feel good. And it's very easy these days to.
I mean, it's. I think if she was a drug user, she'd be a professional about it, like me and Stefan. She wouldn't be a Hoffman about doing heroin and like just grunting and doing like 5 or 6 syringes because that's how heroin is measured because I've never done heroin. You're like, how many syringes do you have for sale, my good man?
Nah, I'm not trying to get serious on this show, but like I watch HBO and they're making it sound like fentanyl is just going crazy now. People are dying left and right.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. That's that fentanyl. That's a bad thing. If anyone's listening to this show and you do fentanyl, you stop that now. There, I just saved some lives. Unless you're Travis, then keep it up.
We need you to continue to fund the Patreon. So.
Yeah, exactly. The Patreon. We have to mention the Patreon. Anyone who's listening to this, guys, we have a Patreon. I think you just type in Patreon, Patreon, Papa's Basement. It lets you give money to the show monthly. In theory, if you pay beyond a certain amount, we give you a dirty show that's exclusive to you in return. We'll do that someday. We did it once. We'll do it again. In the meantime, just give us money. I don't really need it. Pete wants it. I'll take money, though. Hell, if you give me free money. I mean, we do a show. We've done it 10 years. I do lose money to do the show. So give me money back. There you go. That was an honest plea. Money. I like it.
So, hey, John, I'm really dirty. So if you ever do a dirty show, you better have me on.
We can absolutely have you on, Briathan Bolte.
The bit that you do where you call your mom whenever a celebrity dies?
Yes.
Did you do that with this porn star?
Oh, that would be great. I'd be like, hey, mom, whenever the door's locked and you know I'm masturbating but we don't acknowledge it, sometimes I used to jerk off to this woman and she died. She'll be like, what? That's horrible. Do you want pancakes when you come home? Like, yes.
Hey, Nate.
Yeah.
As being West Virginia boys, you can just cut that off of the
We just do our moms.
Oh, Brian, taking out his rage against Travis on Nathan. No,
speaking of doing moms, I'm going to do Travis's mom too, just to get back at him for freaking not posting tonight. Thanks, Travis.
How Travis got here first place, Brian.
Offering mommy. His mom was just an old playboy in the bathroom of Stefan. Speaking of taking it in places that are painful, the 66 tolls.
What are you talking about? Now, you're talking Interstate 66 for those who do not live in the area.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to lay it down.
All right.
In the DMV, as we call it, the district and Maryland and Virginia, one of those intersections of states where if you don't live in the area, it never really occurs to you that all these states butt up against each other. Like, I never really realized that about Delaware and Pennsylvania and Jersey, with, like, Philly really being a dirty New Jersey city, even though it's technically a Pennsylvania city. Well, in much in that same way, chunks of Maryland, the district, and Virginia all smashed together. And leading into the district from Virginia, its northernmost point, is Highway 66. Not the famed 66 of, like, old rock and roll fame.
Which, I get my kicks on Route 66.
There you go.
That's not it at all.
No. 66 is just a dirty 60-something, 75 miles. It isn't 66 miles. That would actually make sense. I think it's like 75-ish miles.
Yeah.
That lead from the hills to the west of us right into Washington, D.C. Brian, are you, like, opening a hatch on a plane that's in the air right now?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Just wanted to verify.
I'm currently in an airplane. I apologize for that.
No, that's cool.
I was trying to get to Travis's mom's vagina. I will come back. I apologize. It's kind of like spreading apart a grilled cheese sandwich. So I will stop. Mrs. Dorr, you have to wait till later.
That sounds good. Did you find a tomato in her snatch? So,
no, it looks like a pickle.
66.
Right.
66
is, by all measures, one of the worst highways in terms of traffic in the country, despite the population growth in this area being, I dare say, like, exponential. Well, that's a bit of an exaggeration.
Well,
it's huge.
Every time there's been a recession in the 21st century, the D.C. area has kept growing.
Yes.
That's kind of, so it's been multiple times since 2000.
Yeah, because we feed off those sweet, fat government Dolly Parton-sized titties. That milk never runs dry. Much like Dolly's are still just kicking it at age, like, 99, whatever she's at right now. 66 has never been widened. The fancy lads in Arlington, which is kind of like Washington, D.C. for honkies, right outside the city, they allowed 66 to pass through it as long as it was down to two lanes, like a goddamn country road. So it narrows from three lanes to two lanes for certain parts, a highway that serves, without exaggeration, 18% of the U.S. population on any given day. Just a nonstop. I'm not exaggerating when I say you can be heading from my house westbound on 66, which will take you into the district at 11 a.m., and I will still encounter bumper-to-bumper traffic, and I can be heading home at 2-ish p.m. Like, 2 p.m. without fail, you will encounter a lot. I don't want to say bumper-to-bumper, but you will encounter very dense traffic. There is roughly a two-hour window going in either direction where you're not going to see traffic. People live everywhere. There's no against traffic on 66 now. It also has arcane HOV laws, where in theory, you can only be on the parts closest to the city with a spare person, with a passenger, up until like 10 in the morning, or if you're leaving the city starting at 4 p.m. I'm giving you all this because recently Virginia decided it would allow you to bypass these HOV requirements by charging you a toll. If you wanted to leave D.C. and take part in the just traffic bukkake that is 66, you can. But you have to pay a flex toll, which means it's not set. God forbid anything be set. Oh, no. depending on volume, the price will be determined by a computer that is literally constantly processing, ceaselessly changing the price, depending on the exact count of cars coming in or going out to the city. And this toll system, the money not going really anywhere we know of, not tolls set up by the state. Some outside company has done it, and I think just giving the state 50%.
Like, God forbid they actually spend the money on expanding 66 to be free.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Why, that doesn't make... Did you just speak in Oriental, Howard? Because I didn't understand what came out of your mouth. That was too logical. I don't get it. Yes, God forbid we enlarge a two-lane country highway that's serving... For all you people in the rest of the country where your life is just all of your friends died of heroin overdoses and like the Little Caesars closed so everyone in the city has lost their job, like Virginia's the opposite of that. We just have jobs pouring out the ass. They're just building houses everywhere with no infrastructure upgrade coming with it. Nothing. You're just like, oh, I live on this crappy highway, Route 50, that has been a traffic nightmare hell for 15 years. What are they building? Another 20 miles deep on Route 50 that's then going to need to drive into, you know, 66 and into D.C. to get to work? Why, it's another housing development or 20. Like, that's just my life. Like, houses just come up. I have to drive further and further west, and nothing is built roadwise to get these people who live further and further west of the city east into it. Nothing. I'm not exaggerating.
It's been awful for about 20 years now.
They do not care. As long as the tax base comes in, they don't care. Your life can be literal Mad Max. You can have the little feral boy with the boomerang, the whole shebang, like the tanker filled with sand. That's just your daily commute on 66.
So the problem is local governments control development building, and roads are for the state. And that's why you've seen this develop the way it has here for the last 20 years.
Because local governments are like, we want money.
Yeah.
We want money. Give us money.
So that's why the state hasn't really been building roads in response correctly up until too late. About 10 years ago, they started finally saying, oh, we should, like, not let counties build more housing unless they show us that they're going to put some money towards more roads. Too late. Too little too late. So that's why, like, it's currently hell. Anybody who has to, like, travel on I-66 to go to work on a daily basis.
So they don't build a new road. They put tolls on a road that was built with taxpayer money, like, I don't know, back when we could own black people. 66 is old as hell. Like, it's from the 60s, man. That thing has been paid 100 times over by the taxpayer. But no, we're going to give people the option to use this during HOV hours solo, and then that money will go, I don't know, wherever. Maybe they're going to get, like, a sweet Street Fighter 2 arcade game for the lobby. I don't know. Hopefully it's a good one. Super Turbo, not just Champion Edition. That was crap. These tolls, like I said, were flex-based, meaning we can F you as much as we want. Do you know what people were paying, Howard, driving into the city on day one, and Nate, driving out of the city on day one?
I heard upwards of $50.
Yes. Yeah. I heard 35-ish on the way in, and then I heard 40-something on the way out. $40! One goddamn way to ride one road, which by definition for the chunk you're told on is 11 miles, $40. That adds up. Yes. Yes, Brian.
I just want to chime in because I didn't deal with 66, but I used to deal with the DC traffic. 12 miles was my commute to Arlington, Virginia. And my record was 3 hours one time it took to get to Arlington, Virginia from Springfield, Virginia. I'm in California where there's just as many people and it's just as crazy. I take a 20-mile commute. I've never done more than 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah. I did a week or so in California, so I'm an expert.
And California is fucked beyond recognition. It's pretty sad that Northern Virginia is... commute is worse than where I am.
The week I did
no reason.
That happened about 5 years ago, like where we have longer commute times than LA.
Yeah.
Like, the day that happened, I was like, we are so screwed. Like, this is the most embarrassing thing that's
ever
happened.
I remember going to LA, dude, and it was dense. But their highways run like 8 lanes deep. Like, they do not screw around, and you never stopped. It was always flowing. Like, it could be dense as hell, but it was always flowing.
Always moving. Even if it's fucking traffic and people are...
Hey, potty mouth, watch your language.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There you go.
I apologize.
That's right. Go, yeah. Go and bang Travis.
I already did twice. Okay. I can't get satisfied. He's so horrible. But yeah, it's pretty sad that Northern Virginia can't figure out.
I mean, you make a lot of money here, but $40 to F someone out of 40? How do you do that? You're not giving them a lap dance? $40 goddamn, man?
I can't tell you what a crisis it is, like, with public transit. If you ride the metro system, our subway system here now, I mean, it lights on fire. It's just literally unsafe. Like, everybody's just trying to raise money in order to make transportation options reasonable here, and they're just unapologetic right now, where they've asked the administrators, like, how can you do this? And the response is, you made a choice by entering inside the beltway on this road without a passenger.
Yeah.
All you got to do is find somebody to ride with you. They have these areas called slug lines in the area where you just go pick up a random commuter stranger who may or may not want to kill you.
Yeah.
That's safe.
And exactly. Take them in.
Yeah.
That's been a thing that's been going on here since the 70s. I don't think anybody's been killed yet, but, you know, I think now that it's being charged $40 per trip.
No, it's a horrible area. Like, I found this little tidbit off of Reddit, of all things. It wasn't getting a lot of press. Shocker. Woman suffers seizure, wakes up to stranger sexually assaulting her at ride-on bus stop.
What?
Yes, this happened in our own Gaithersburg, Maryland, which Germantown is both incredibly affluent and home to multiple MS-13 murders. You tell me how that dichotomy works, but we managed to pull it off in good old Maryland, the DMV. See, this is what I'm talking about. People would hear Maryland. They wouldn't equate this with like something 30 minutes from where we're recording now, but that's the DMV, this weird little mashup area. Where we kind of all, you know, it's like one of those chill. Sorry, I like hearing Brian just leaving the office. But yeah, it's
cool. I was thinking about what Travis did, you know, when he sexually assaulted that woman.
That was horrible what he did. Just because he's a virgin, he thinks he can do these things. No.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh God, what is that new damn HBO show called? About the bar. It's like called something weird, like The Coos or something. It's probably not The Coos.
The Deuce.
There we go.
Okay.
Yeah. Like,
please, Travis, don't do that to me. That show?
No, not that show. No. The DMV is like that, where all these disparate elements come together, and we're all just one in this hell of hating the traffic. So, yeah, let me punch it up again. This is great. Germantown, Maryland. Which is about 30 minutes from where we record the show, a disabled woman's trip to her local 7-Eleven morphed into a terrifying experience when a stranger sexually assaulted her during an unforeseen medical emergency. The story goes on to describe the woman has a seizure on the bus. I guess she can't drive because she has seizures. And she wakes up to a dude finger-banging her.
Yeah.
These are the guys that... Travis, yes, she wakes up to Travis Dorwood.
Shit.
God damn it, Brian.
People.
Watch your mouth. Sorry. Wakes up to that happening to her. These are the men who make normal people like us get branded pieces of crap by, I guess, like much of the female public who's just like, all men are rapists. No, we're really not. That guy is. If I saw a woman having a seizure, I would probably contact the bus driver and be like, you need to pull over before she bites off her tongue. I wouldn't be like, time to get these fingers all stinkered up. Who does that? And then the guy, she comes to, like, this dude was having such a ball that he didn't even try to get away with it. Like, he's just playing it like Devil Goes Down to Georgia, Charlie Daniels on his fiddle, geez. Just mashing this box. And she eventually comes to, as people who have seizures are wont to do, and is like, what the hell? And he, being of Latino descent, just goes like, ay, 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 and runs off the bus. And she has to then take that same route the next day and, like, see this dude and just be like, hey, driver, this is the guy who raped me with his hand, and he's in custody now. And to put a nice bow tie on the story to bring it all back together, he looks a lot like a Mexican Stefan. There you go.
I was worried you're going to say there's yet another sex offender who, like, resembles me out there. I was like, again?
No.
I'm so tired of this.
He looks like Stefan, not you. Right. All of my friends are sex offender lookalikes. That's the name of my debut album.
Worst doppelganger ever. Why couldn't it be, like, a rock star?
That was still my favorite story, yeah, where a guy at the Target right next to the studio, this is no 30 minutes, right next to the studio, a Latino man, I'm not going to say notice a trend here because then I'd be racist, but... looked exactly like Howard and was...
Excuse me, my mini-me, because he's like 8 inches shorter than me.
That's true.
We like found out
in
when
the dome
when
piece, he looked like you. He was actually like, yeah, fat little squat version like an Irvy Villachez.
It's those stupid wide lens angle lenses.
Yeah, the Hype on... Williams fisheye lens type stuff.
Yeah, like that's what it made, like when they showed the video stills of this guy in like local media. I'm like, oh man, come on, like I've been on that Target. I know that escalator. Like, that comes up to the dude's neck. I am like, that's my waist. That can't be me. Like,
yeah.
I can't go in that Target until they catch this guy, because I'm going to get stopped.
I like how it took that kind of rationale. Like, you really thought you were some sort of, like, weir molester. You're like, was there a full moon? Was I squeezing asses on the escalator?
No, I was just like, because I think I told you this, like, just to revisit it, like, my sister actually texted my wife, like, what was Howard doing on Saturday?
That is amazing.
I was like, what? You're the worst sibling ever.
She turned on you like the Unabomber's brother did.
You at least had the decency to like text it to me, be like, yo, man.
Yeah.
It's you.
I was like Sarah Connor's roommate in The Terminator when they're watching the news broadcast and it's like Sarah Connor was killed.
Yeah.
And she turns and says, you're dead, honey.
Yeah.
There you go. What, Brian Bolte?
Hey.
Hey. Hey, Fonz.
In Howard. Sense. Masturbation is now called hand rape.
Brian.
It's all for you.
Brian, we're going to cut your audio, sir. It's flickering in and out.
I apologize. I was going to get to the hand rape with Howard and the hashtag MeToo, and I liked it. So maybe I should just get cut out completely.
All right, buddy. Well, thank you for calling in. I think we've only got a couple of minutes left anyhow, so we're going to bring this one on home.
Right.
Yeah. Later. Travis Dorwood hates you. I left it at that. He can tweet Travis to his heart's content. But yeah, we do have like 10 minutes left of episode. I wanted to bring up something I watched the other day on Netflix.
What it is.
It is called, what do we got here? The Jim Carrey... God damn it, I should have had the name punched up. That's what someone who's done this more than 10 years.
It's the documentary about his life since he made the Man in the Moon.
Yeah, I wanted to get the actual name. It's called Jim and Andy the Great Beyond. Either of you guys watch this?
I've not.
Okay, you have not.
I've seen the ad for it. It seems bizarre as I read the tagline.
The whole concept is Jim Carrey. I believe this movie is made like 97-ish.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Like he won an Oscar for the role, right?
Did he get it? I thought he was
definitely nominated.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think he won. So, 3 years after doing Ace Ventura, The Mask, and Dumb and Dumber in 1 year, just 94 was a hell of a year for this man. Jim Carrey gets tabbed to play Andy Kaufman in the biopic Man on the Moon, which to this day, I'll be honest, never saw it. I kind of need to if it's on Netflix. You know, it'd be nice if Netflix acquired the damn thing after putting this out. He goes deep into character. We'll get to how deep in a second. And 20 years later, they decided to release a ton of backstage footage of Jim Carrey in characters Andy Kaufman and in characters Tony Clifton, which was like a character that Andy Kaufman played. And he was also in character as Andy's various characters like Latka Gravis on Taxi. And the footage was initially going to be put out like on DVD bonuses and crap like that. But as Jim says, the studio was afraid to release it because he would come off as too much of an a-hole. And 20 years later, now that Jim Carrey's like, let's be honest, the shine done come off that star a bit. Netflix got some dudes. I guess they interviewed him for 2 days about his experience on the set and like what he did, and they intersperse it with footage of him in the character. And I'm very conflicted on this.
Why's that?
So on one hand, as a dude who does a little improv, and improv is about character building in a lot of ways, like good improv really is good acting. Like if you can act well, you're probably going to be good at improv, because really more than anything, it's about making a character and committing to it. I know the complete difficulty of that, the utter difficulty of it, because I can't do it for a damn.
It's not, yeah, you've never really, I've known you a long time. Theater is not something that you've ever really, the character that you best play is yourself.
Yes.
It's why you're a podcast, though, whereas Pete maybe has done quite a bit of acting in his life. And so for him, I think improv is often where he shines. I think that's like a forte for him.
Yes, exactly. He's acted, he can build character. So Jim Carrey starts off the movie by saying he has to actually try out for this. And he's like, that's weird because like I'm this $20 million man at this point. Everyone loves me. So it's almost like a slap to the face that I have to audition. But he tries to get into the mind of Andy Kaufman, and he's walking along the Pacific coast. And he's like, well, if Andy were around right now, like what would Andy Kaufman trying to be doing? Like, and then he says, he jumps to the conclusion, Andy Kaufman would be trying to contact me telepathically. And then Jim Carrey explains, at that exact moment, 30-something dolphins jumped out of the Pacific Ocean. And from that point forward, it was not Jim Carrey, but Andy Kaufman. And that is the movie you're in for.
Oh my God.
That is the movie you're in for. Now, on the one hand, I completely respect a dude who gets that into character. Like, he seems to have it up here in, I'm pointing to the noggin, as a doctor would call it. He seems to have the character well enough up there. I'm not saying it's great acting, because it's Jim Carrey and dudes like that and Jamie Foxx. I think to them, they get a little too caught up in doing more of an impression almost than just the acting. Like you've got Andy Hopkins, right? That's the name I want. Oh, my God. I miss when my speed worked and I could remember things. Dude from Silence of the Lambs.
Anthony Hopkins.
There we go. Anthony Hopkins. You got Anthony Hopkins playing Nixon. He doesn't look like Nixon. He doesn't talk like Nixon. But it was a great performance. He's an actor. Meanwhile, you got Jim Carrey having to be like the goddamn doppelganger of Andy Kaufman. And admittedly doing it well. He's got the rubber face. Like, he's getting close, but you wonder how much he's just obsessed with imitating every bit of the dude. What gets me, as a man who, I'm in the service industry. My day job, I own a locksmith company of one. I am my employee. I am my boss. I serve people. I know what it is to be delayed by people who are rude, who don't care that you're there. Don't respect your time. To see Jim Carrey do all of the following. Get into a fight on set with the guy pretending to be, well, the actor paid to play Andy Kaufman's dad, fighting father and son while they should be just in makeup, but instead making a scene. A big bit of Andy Kaufman's shtick was a wrestling thing with Jerry Lawler, a wrestling feud. Jim Carrey saw fit to legit screw with Jerry Lawler the whole time because, of course, he's Andy Kaufman. You know, never once said, like, hey, what's up? Just was a dick to him the whole time. Would talk to the director, Milos Forman, who did One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and one of my favorites ever, Amadeus, completely in character. When Milos would be have advice, he'd start at the start of this filming process, would have to be like, well, Jim and Andy Kaufman, who's in front of him, who made his ass talk 3 years earlier, would just stare at him blankly. And be like, well, I can give the message to Jim, but you're talking to Andy. And so Milos had to run with that for a long time. Then when he gets into the Tony Clifton character, Tony Clifton, who's just a troll, like just the progenitor of trolls, like he's just, they're filming him as he breaks into Steven Spielberg's lot at one point and is like looking for Steven Spielberg and it's just like screaming and making a scene. It's just, it's the most dickish crap on earth. Like, I lose my mind. Like, there's a happy medium, dude. Like, he's doing all this stuff, and then right next to him, you've got Danny DeVito, who's just rolling his goddamn eyes. And I'm sorry, Danny DeVito, funnier. Danny DeVito, older. Danny DeVito, still working. This dude, just massaging his weird, creepy Unabomber beard, and telling us what it was like 20 years ago when people cared to have them.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like the way you describe it, I haven't seen it. I saw the original movie in a while back.
You have to.
But when you describe it, that's back when Jim Carrey was like untouchable in Hollywood. And I think
unassailable. Are you kidding me? Like the thing in Hollywood was Jim Carrey.
I think like to look back at like the lens of today for me, I'm just like, I mean, it could have been worse. He could have just been like slipping pills to chicks when they came back into his dressing room and raping them. Like, he could have Bill Cosby'd the whole, like, experience. Like, there are many things he could have done that, like, he could have Harvey Weinstein'd, like, the whole experience as well. Like, there's so many things I could think of, like, when we are learning more about how Hollywood works. If this is, like, going to be his, like, abuse of power where, you know, he's just insisting that everybody treat him like Andy Kaufman and his version of being, like, an annoying comedian. Like, I guess that's the part that's kind of offensive, is he is kind of disrespecting a dead person's memory, because these are all people who knew him, it seems.
Oh, get this.
Yeah.
Andy Kaufman had a daughter he gave up for adoption that he never met.
Oh, no.
The daughter comes to the set and has a very cathartic hour, as Jim Carrey puts it, talking with him in the character of Andy Kaufman.
Oh, man.
A lot of Andy's family would come to the set and talk to Andy, because Andy's alive again.
Like, they for real were like, this is as if he's here?
Kind of, yeah.
Oh, man. So, like, they weren't offended? They are all, like, totally into Jim Carrey doing this?
Yeah. They didn't really seem offended by it.
I mean, Andy Kaufman was a weird guy. I guess, like, as much as you're going to have a real interaction with him, it might as well be Jim Carrey playing for all that. I guess. It seems offensive to me when you describe it.
I wanted to crack on this more, but God help me, you laying down the standard of he wasn't drugging and raping women shuts my fat mouth up right quick.
I mean, it's just like, is it going to change now? Like, it seems like Danny DeVito really just wanted to smack him upside and be like, what is wrong with you?
There's the best moments in this are Danny DeVito and Judd Hirsch, like his former taxi crew, just watching him and being like, son of a goddamn bitch, not this again. Like, just professional old actors who are like, can we just do a goddamn scene? I got to take a dump and eat some craft services. Like,
nah, but I mean, it's just like, that's been the culture in Hollywood forever. It totally reminds me of, like, Louis K. Like, hey, you girls mind if I masturbate in front of you? And then it's just like, oh, this again?
Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of his scribe. And I'm just like, oh, man, please finish. I'd like to get back to the stage.
This movie was from, you know, back, what, 10, 15 years ago? That's what you're...
Well, are you talking... Man on the Moon, I believe, is 20 years ago to the day, almost. That was summer, I think, of 97. This was filmed... The footage was filmed backstage for that, but then Jim Carrey now, like, post-Jenny McCarthy, autism is caused by shots, Jim Carrey is talking to us now about it all.
Okay. Yeah, because I think it was like a month ago, there was something where he was on some red carpet event just berating someone.
Oh, yeah, that's him now. Yeah. That's him
so
now.
He never left that character.
Kind of. That is really, I don't want to say the crux of the movie, but it's one of the conclusions you can draw that...
He's never been the same since.
Yeah, like, you know that proverbial story where the guy just, like, takes a bunch of acid and then he's just tripping for the next 30 years? Like, kind of the Christopher Lloyd character on Taxi?
Right.
Like, that was playing Andy Kaufman for Jim Carrey. Like, that was just taking a bunch of acid. He's never been quite the same since. Like,
Because he was married to Lauren Holly back then, right? Was
that right, yes. He might have already been free, actually, because she was like right after Dumb and Dumber, so she would have been like 95-ish, yeah.
Okay, so that probably was like, I wonder if that's in their divorce paperwork, where she was like, he did that movie, and just like, I was no longer married to him. I was married, supposedly, to Andy Kaufman, so... Yeah, not what I signed up for.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine that? Like, you're actually having sex with him, and he's just, like, looking down on you, like, I can't believe you're cheating on your husband, actor Jim Carrey. And she's like, Jesus Christ, dude. Just finish. This is driving me nuts.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with, like, he just, like, screamed, here I come to save the day.
Thank you very much.
Gross.
Oh, God. It's worth a watch, man. Like, it legit, this was, if you want to know how sad my life is, I wanted to prove that I could do something constructive. So instead of watching back-to-back-to-back Cheers reruns on Netflix, I put on a 90-minute movie to prove to myself I still had the attention span. And I did. I did. I got through it. But you know what? You're completely right. He was not out there raping women. So
and that's where we are today.
Yeah, you know what? That's, you got me. And I think we're going to call that an episode so we can do the outro and I can save all the locations of all the cursing that dirty Brian Bolte did at Choke on Ritalin on Twitter. And yeah, let's do that outro music right now. That was a short and sweet one. Thank you everyone who's made it through, who listened live, who's listening at home. Isn't that funny? I'm talking to you, Nate, in the future.
Yes.
This is like Sarah Connor recording tapes for John. In the time we had together, we loved a lifetime's worth. He says there's a storm coming. I know. Ba-da-da-da-da-da. Sorry, that's autism. You mentioned Terminator. I got to do the last 30 seconds of Terminator. Everyone, that's Papa's Basement. I'm John Papa Giorgio, hence the show's weird name. It's a comedy talk show. We hope you liked it. I don't have to explain the show because you made it this far. Show's website, inpapasbasement.com. All episodes we have done over these 10 plus years, I think we're up to like 550-ish. They're all located there. Download them. Go to our Patreon. Give us money. That's not me just like saying it for fun. I do miss work when I do this damn thing. And it's fun to know that people like your show to the point they invest in it. So Patreon, Patreon, Papa's Basement. Google that. And you can give us money, and we do give you rewards. I think if you sign up for 10 a month, we send you a t-shirt. Not a t-shirt a month. That would bankrupt us. But you get one t-shirt. Enjoy that t-shirt. It's a good t-shirt. Yes, Howard Flood, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. I'll try when I can.
I love having you in. You got those golden pipes. And Nate, thanks again for coming in, man.
Thank you. I've had a great time.
I'm glad you did. Yeah. It was awesome having you. And please feel free to swing by and bring the wife... bring whoever you want. I think maybe you can lie and say you have, like, a helper cat. And you could bring him in. As long as there's a sandbox for it to crap in, we're all good. Till the next one. Oh, yeah, youtube.com/papasbasement. Till the next one. We're out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah, you're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis. Yeah.
Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb.